Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, and it's the 18th of October, and I am recording at 9:55 p.m., and that is still British summertime. All right, now last night, in my first audio for a while, I sort of did a little bit of a catch-up just of my thoughts, and probably horrified you by running on for 20 minutes or just over. And I promise that this will be a much shorter audio here tonight, but I'll try to touch on all the relative points. And on a very short-term basis, what we had seen over the previous couple of weeks, we'd seen a little bit of slippage, erosion, in price activity for starting with stock markets, and what we got in here today were a number of solid gains. The bulls were definitely in charge here today, and that has really checked the downward drift that we were seeing earlier on. And I'll run through the key markets that showed the best action of that nature, but the day strongly belonged to the bulls. So the implications of that is that we would have to have an even bigger sell-off tomorrow. I do not expect that. I think that the bounce that we saw in here today was strong enough just to show that the bulls are still around and to cause a little bit of short covering. And maybe we see a little bit further ranging sideways to higher in here. Now, what actually did best? Well, there were a number of them. And if I take the Asia-Pacific region first, the Chinese sector had a pretty good day here overall. Now, the Hang Seng Index showed a clear upward dynamic, up over 1.5%. And all the Chinese indices, though, had good gains. The Hang Seng China Enterprise Index up 1.88%. Where we had seen very quiet activity, such as the Shanghai Composite Index, That pushed up out of a very narrow trading range here today. So a positive one-day action in here, as I've already indicated. India did best of all among these markets with just under 2% gains. And again, that stopped a slide that had been taking place down near the rising 200-day moving average, no less. Now, those were the main movers, to say China and India getting the best gains there. Looking at the European indices, now, this is interesting because there's been a lot of concern about Italy recently, and that Italian stock market has been a serial underperformer really for quite some time. A lot of concern about the banks, and today it had a gain of 2.02%, so that was the best in the European markets, one of the best in the world in here today. So I think a bit of short covering in here, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that didn't get a little bit of follow through, as most of these quite strong moves are likely to get a little bit of follow through to the upside in here. Also, Germany, one of the better gains. Same with France, and also Sweden. Here, those were the main performers, but the Euro Stoxx 50 index for Europe, that was up over 1.25% in here as well. Now, looking at the Americas, the big performer in here was Brazil, up 1.73%. That was followed by Canada, which was up over 1%. Wall Street quieter, but still to the upside, and just about everything. Well, I think everything is green in here today. So the bulls very, very much in charge. What about looking further ahead here? Well, I think we'll still have this edgy, somewhat uncertain environment. That's hardly surprising. We've seen that for a while. But there are some bull and bear elements that are in play here. Overall, I'd be careful. But after a day like today, we don't need to worry too much, I think, about the rest of the week at any rate. Now, looking at government bond markets, these I don't like. And we could say, and I've said this often in the past, that when people are beginning to pull money out of government bonds, stock markets benefit from that initially. It isn't until yields go up enough, go up sufficiently, to start attracting fresh capital that benefit for stock markets wanes and actually eventually becomes negative here. But we are certainly seeing some profit taking and some short covering in these bonds by traders, and that may well be a factor that's helped stock markets a little bit and could still do so for a little longer in the future. The bond markets I really don't like. I think I said last night, I wouldn't be surprised if the lows for government bond yields were in. And there is more talk of the need for central banks to back off because the negative interest rate policies, William Hague was critical of those in here today, causing problems. It caused problems for the banks, much harder for them to make any money. Pensioners lose out in a big way. It can lead to also some dangerous leveraging by corporations. So there are a lot of reasons why people don't like these ultra low interest rates that we've certainly seen for a long time. Now, the trade-off, though, is that if we get the Fed going ahead with a quarter point interest rate hike in December, and that's certainly the intention at this time, and I haven't seen anything yet that would cancel that out. So I'm assuming that we'll get a rate hike in December, and I think it would take some pretty bad news to postpone that once again. And the talk is that we really need to see more fiscal spending coming in virtually all countries. We need to see somewhat higher interest rates so that corporations, instead of just buying back their shares, actually start to develop a little bit more, spend a little bit more on infrastructure development and product development. And I think that will gradually take place here overall. The risk for the U.S., and I mentioned this on a number of occasions in the short term, is that it's a little bit ahead in the cycle. The U.S. Does not have that strong an economy at this time, but it looks good relative to most of the other candidates among big markets. And there are a number of reasons for that. It's got the technology lead, which, while disruptive, is also extremely useful for the very long term, and also on a near-term basis. And so the U.S., again, has a large technology, significant technology lead, and also it's virtually independent in terms of energy. And there aren't that many, well, there's no other country that could claim that combination of positive factors overall. And that's likely to help the U.S. economy a little bit more looking forward. It's ahead in the cycle. But if the U.S. does raise rates in December, as I expect, that may well put further upside pressure on the U.S. dollar index. And that could then jeopardize corporate profits. It could jeopardize the U.S. economy. Certainly, if we had a decisive break above that 100 level on that dollar index chart that I showed yesterday, that would create quite a strong headwind for the U.S. economy. And in earlier this year, when we were up around that 100 level, I felt quite clearly that we were getting some intervention by the Treasury in agreement with the Fed, all done surreptitiously. Of course, they're certainly not going to announce that, but it happens quite frequently in markets. Governments can be quite active in terms of weakening their currency or strengthening their currency a little bit, and I think the near certainty of a Fed rate hike in December means that we will see some upward pressure on the dollar. And again, as I say, that the Treasury may well need to come in and knock that back a little bit to head off problems, because we're not going to get the other large economies raising interest rates anytime soon. Now, the Fed's only going to raise rates by 25 basis points in December, and then they'll want to do that at least twice in 2017. That's the current thinking. But, you know, are we going to see that from China? Are we going to see that from Japan? Are we going to see that from Germany? No, I don't think so. We will have to see a further improvement in not only those economies, but also in the global economy generally. So that's pretty much the background. I think the U.S. U.S. leading and needing other countries to catch up here over the next few months, and they can do that by just increasing fiscal spending somewhat. Now, bond markets, I mentioned that the lows are probably in terms of the yields, in terms of those government bond yields. The moves that we've seen to the upside, the UK 10-year gilts have had one of the biggest moves to the upside, and that's all about Brexit and the weakness that we saw with sterling, leading to a considerable amount of profit-taking in those UK gilts. But all these yields have moved higher, and that I described as a little bit of leakage from what I think is very much a bubble, 35, 36-year bull market, record low levels in yields. That's certainly a bubble, and but it's not. It certainly hasn't burst in a way that would be destabilizing and quite terrifying for a number of investors. But if you own bonds, I'd be very, very careful, particularly if you hold the longer dated issues. I'd rather be out of those for certain. Now, looking at currencies, we see sterling stronger in here today. And if I can just get you a read on that, just under the 123 level against the US dollar. So that's seen a good gain in here today. The dollar index did not extend its gains in here today, but it's not down very much, and it's still pretty steady overall, 97.866, and so not that far off 98, and that's only 2 points away from that big psychological 100 level where I maintain the Fed, and really the Treasury on behalf of the Fed has intervened intervened earlier this year. Okay, other currencies, soft Chinese renminbi, and that's a controlled devaluation that's actually taking place. The Indian currency is quite firm overall. It's got a good growth rate in India, and one of the better growth rates in the world today, certainly. And it is attracting a lot of inward investment, not least from Japan. Also South Korea. And that's certainly the choice among bigger markets in the Asia-Pacific region these days, but it's not cheap, as you know. And looking at commodities, firmer tone in here today. The CCI index was a little bit higher. Precious metals couldn't hold on to all their gains, but certainly rallies here today by silver, currently up 15.5 cents, and platinum up nearly $10 here today, but they're maybe a third off the highs that they had seen earlier in the day, but nevertheless it's a decent rally. Gold up almost $7. These precious metals are all oversold on a short-term basis. They looked way overextended. I said we hadn't seen much interest in them when I commented yesterday, but the fact that they were overextended was certainly very clear. And so we may be seeing now the beginning of a technical rally, which could be really quite good given the extent of the declines that had preceded today's firmer tone. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.